Hey, all you growers out there, Jordan River here. Thank you for tuning in to GrowCast today. Quick, some updates for everybody. Okay, got a lot of business to handle here. First of all, the coffee giveaways for the live streams. That's right, I do Instagram lives now occasionally, and I frequently give away coffee. We sent out our first round. You should be receiving your coffee if you were one of the first winners. And I just wanted to update Sativa Steve, Simply Ganic, Custom Grow, Victor, and I think that's it. Oh, and Dr. Green Thumb. All of your coffee is coming. That's going to be shipped out this week. So stay tuned. I did not forget about you. Just an update. Everyone else should have received their coffee. If I told you you won coffee and you didn't receive it and I didn't just say your name, please hit me up at Jordan River IG. I'm not being a dick. I just must have forgot or the message got lost or something. But I think I got everybody. Okay, so check that box. Next order of business, we're doing a giveaway for those who are donating to Northwest Families for Autism. That giveaway ends this Wednesday. All you got to do is donate to Northwest Families for Autism and then send us a screenshot of your donation. You can find a link to Northwest Families for Autism PayPal in Miss Rose's Instagram. So get at Miss Rose on Instagram or hit up Jinx, say, where can I donate? He'll direct you over. Send us your donations and you are entered to win Jinx Genetics, a bag of Purity coffee, and some swag from Jinx as well. So that's a little giveaway. There's another giveaway going on. Go to growcastpodcast.com/giveaway. We're giving away M3 Mix Super Soil. So get in on that. That drawing also goes down this Wednesday. We've got so much stuff going on at Growcast, guys. It's nuts. So make sure you're taking advantage of it. All right? There's going to be another giveaway after that one. Loving it. Today's episode is with Hota Herb. I apologize for the audio quality. We had to record over Zoom. One of my trusty pieces of hardware broke down. It's just been one of those days, man. I apologize for the late release today, too. It's been a little crazy, but we're getting back on board. It's all good. And this episode with Hota is great. I know you guys are going to love it. Before we jump in with Hota, though, let's give some love to Atlas Plant Trainer. Go to atlasplanttrainer.com. Promo code GROWCAST gets you 10% off your entire order. And members of mygrowpass.com get 25% off their Atlas Plant Trainers. Atlas Plant Trainers are the best way to train your plants, guys. It's one of those products. I rarely say it. This is the best way to train your plants. It's hard to say this is the best light, hard to say this is the best nutrient. Atlas Plant Trainer is a customizable plant support system. Connect, click, bend, clip, and you are on your way to growing the plants of your dreams. They are just interlockable, swivelable, hookable stakes. It's like an erector set for your plants, for your pants, for your plants. And it's the best way to train your plants. It really, really is. So check it out today. AtlasPlantTrainer.com. Grow biggest, everybody. Hashtag grow biggest. Never run out of cannabis again. Best way to increase your yield without switching lights or nutrients. AtlasPlantTrainer.com. Promo code GROWCAST for 10% off. Okay, let's jump in with Hota. Enjoy the show, everyone.
Hello, podcast listeners. You are now listening to GrowCast. I'm your host, Jordan River, and I want to thank you for tuning in today. Before we get started, please share GrowCast with a friend, a grower. We appreciate you spreading the show. Check out the Homegrown Helpers with Rob Smith for more growing talk, and the Coffee Health and Science Podcast, my other show. Lots of fun over there. We apologize for the low-quality recording today. The studio, we were having some serious technical issues, but that will not stop us from getting the content out. We're getting it fixed up, too, so this is not going to be a regular thing, but we're just recording this through Zoom so we can get you guys this content with show favorite today, Hota Herb. What up, Hotar? How you doing?
good afternoon, Mr.
Yeah,
Rivers.
Man. Been a while.
How the hell are you?
I'm doing excellent. So excellent.
I'm doing fantastic, too. I'm doing fantastic, really. I'm doing my best to use this time as wisely as possible during the big pause, man.
Yeah, I like that, the big pause. What have you been up to?
So I had a whole bunch of different plans of things that I'm supposed to be doing right now. Events that unfortunately got canceled this weekend. Funny enough, we were going to be at the I was going to be up in Maine at the Regenerative Organic Conference with Josh. You know, that's got, was supposed to be happening in Portland, Maine this weekend, but unfortunately it had to get canceled. So, I had a grow and tell that I had to do. Actually, we did it live online with your friend Greg from Beneficial Insectary.
Another person, Greg.
You just did a podcast with. Yeah, it's awesome. I've been listening to the podcast, and it's funny because you've been like flipping through all my friends.
So it's been great.
You did. I listened to Mosca. You know what's better than listening to Mosca Negra, your neighbor now.
Yeah.
Right. Super great guy. I listened to, 2 days ago, I listened to the episode with Tommy Fox from Fish Shit. You know,
yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. He's a good friend of yours as well. Yeah. Love Tom Fox. Great interview.
Yeah. And you know, well, you know, there would not be a Haute d'Herbe without a Tom Fox.
Right. That's right. You know? Like your, yeah. Yeah. Your protege, you know, back in the day.
Yeah. Well, he talked about his grow store. Right. And people coming into his grow store, the grow store he was running, I was one of those people. Uh-huh. And he influenced me to join Instagram in the first place. I would not have joined Instagram. I would not have posted a single picture if it wasn't for Tommy.
Man, that's so, that's actually a pretty big thing. First of all, it's funny because that's like kind of me and Wolfman's relationship. It was like he was your Wolfman, it seems like. But like, if he set you on that path, I actually wanted to discuss this today. You've had some great success on Instagram, and I appreciate all the growers out there who are posting and kind of becoming influencers through different social media. You kind of rode that wave when it was first starting too, right? Like, not everybody was posting their grows a couple years ago.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was fortunate enough to kind of do it at the time right after Massachusetts got legal. Before the East Coast really exploded, right?
Dude, that's perfect. So you everyone know, was following you then. That was a good was wave just, to ride.
Absolutely. Maine had just gone legal. Massachusetts had just gone legal. Vermont had not yet gone legal. Some of the decriminalization in Connecticut hadn't really happened yet. And, you know, Rhode Island had medical. So there was big grows in Rhode Island. But there wasn't a lot of home growers in Rhode Island.
Right.
And, so everything kind of, you know, the Massachusetts market kind of developed at the same time. And it also was during a time period before a lot of the recent, I guess, you know, cutting down of content, right?
The purge.
There was a bunch of purges and, you know, hashtags are almost useless now. Things like that, that really kind of stopped the rise. I hit a plateau about 9 months ago with my account, and it hasn't really risen much at all over the last 9 months when I was on a huge incline, you know, month by month I was growing. So I could definitely see that and feel that, but, you know, that's fine. I was able to grow my, grow enough of a following and
totally.
Develop enough of a community where it just, you know, I was able to just do my thing. And that's also something I've been trying to do is spend more time online. I've been going live probably almost twice a day, almost every day.
Nice, man. Yeah.
Sharing what's going on in my garden, giving all, you know, giving people just, you know, advice or comments about things I've been learning or sharing what I've been learning. And just different techniques and things like that, and trying to create a safe space, a safe and positive space.
Yes.
During these times, because I really feel that we're all going to be suffering from major PTSD after this is all over, right? Every one of us. I don't watch a lot of TV. I'd rather just sit in my basement and stare at my plants, to be honest with you. But my wife and I were flipping through TV last night, and even every commercial was about, we'll get through this together, and we're all about helping our, you know, protecting our employees and protecting
fully saturated
stuff. It's just every single aspect of our lives. You can't get regular news. You can't have a conversation. You can't leave your house without this impacting you right now. So I've been really focused on trying to not allow that to creep into my feed. People jump onto my lives and start saying stuff, I'm like, dude, take it elsewhere.
Yeah, no, I respect that, man. I think that when you're inundated with anything like that, it can be, it can be maddening for sure. Yeah.
Yep.
Absolutely.
And that's why I've been referring to it as the big pause, because not only is this, you know, disruptive and we all have this big pause in our lives, but we also have a tremendous opportunity to get away from the normal noise and the normal distractions that we all live with and focus on things that we've wanted to do, wanted to learn, reconnecting with our family, reconnecting with our gardens, you know, all those types of things. So I already had plans on things I was going to do this spring. As I was saying, I was going to start my compost pile and I was going to start a worm bin, because those are parts of my evolution in my natural farming and natural gardening practices.
Now you got some time to do that, right?
Absolutely. I don't have the normal distractions. I can't, you know, I can't run down to the Summit Lounge on a Friday afternoon and go do a co-working event. I'm home. So I need to, you know, farm some worms or go rake some leaves and
make some lemonade is what you're doing, man.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I like that a lot. I like the big pause. I think I'll touch on it here, wrap it up here by saying, Rob will get a kick out of this if he hears this for other reasons, but yep. I believe the Japanese character for crisis is comprised of two kanjis, two symbols, one for danger and one for opportunity.
Yep.
Isn't that cool? I thought that was really neat.
Absolutely.
I do want to dive into specifics now, though, because we've been talking about using this time to get started in your garden on things that you may have been putting off. Are you now doing your worm bin? Can you talk about starting your own worm bin? Talk to me about... you know, prospective yields, size of the bin, ways to do it. Just talk to me about farming worms.
Well, so I've been taking the opportunity to just learn about it. And so just to get started and really just more to play around with it, what we did was after it rained, my wife, my daughter and I actually walked around outside. My daughter's 21, but we all walked around outside and actually picked up worms off of the driveway and the sidewalks around my house and brought them back into the house and brought them and put them into a bin. And so to make a basic worm bin, most gardeners and growers already have the inputs that you need. So shredded paper, and cocoa is a fantastic material to get a worm bin started. So really all you need is some wet shredded paper, some nice moistened cocoa, and then some, you know, moldy berries or some old berries that you're done with, maybe a couple of greens, some shavings off of a carrot. You know, if you peel the carrot to make something, use that, chop it up fine, and throw a little bit of that in the bin to get it going. And that's all the worms need to really get started. That's it, right? Wow. And you let it go for about a week and you check on that kind of little area where you put that food. Coffee grounds are also awesome, Jordan.
I was going to say.
Get those coffee grounds in there, man. They love coffee grounds. They love eggshell and oyster shell are actually awesome foods for worm bins. And so I've been learning about worms. And even though these are not, because these are basic garden worms, they're not really composting worms, which are red wrigglers.
I was going to say, is there any danger to just, cause I mean, Mary Beth came on and scared us about worms with these crazy jumping worms and stuff.
Oh yeah. Absolutely. The crazy jumping worms. Well, no. So my understanding is those are very large and very active and aggressive worms. And you can actually, these are the worms that I was collecting are just basic garden worms. They're the normal pink, reddish worms that you find crawling around in your lawn.
Right on.
Garden. And so they're slightly different from a red wriggler, which is actually a worm that was designed to compost things fast and to live in bins or boxes where things like night crawlers actually will not survive in very well in a composting bin because they like to crawl deep. So just I'm like filling my head with information about growing worms.
That's dope, man.
So I've been playing around with this small worm bin and trying to see how well I can keep these worms alive. And I'm pretty much getting ready to either order some worms or, I've been waiting. I have a friend, locally who is a worm, who grows worms and sells compost tea and worm castings, Best Bud worm castings.
Ooh, and she, nice. Shout out Best Bud.
She's fantastic and she has some awesome worms completely organically raised. And again, talking, you know, Mary Beth, you know, if you want to make sure that you're getting good worms, you also want to make sure that these worms have not been raised in a place that they may have uptaken stuff that's bad.
For sure.
So if you can get good worms, so I really wanted to get worms from the worm lady, but unfortunately she was just in the process of expanding her operation this winter. And so she's building out these tremendous worm bins and she needs every worm she has. So I've been kind of waiting that out a little bit because I'd almost rather get those locally grown worms. Get the good shit. Right, exactly. Get those good worms from a locally sourced place, right? You know, that's part of regenerative. I also understand that a great place to get worms is from, if you have horses, the compost pile from the horses is a great place to get red wrigglers. They really like horse compost, and that's a great natural source because, you know, horses eat pretty much just hay and oats and good stuff. And as long as you're feeding them good feed, then those worms are going to be feeding good stuff.
Well, that's why it's good to have that closed system, you know?
Right, right.
That's what I'm really jealous of, really.
That's what I'm trying to work towards is to try to get as close to a closed loop process as possible.
Nice.
I want to have a compost pile, have vermicompost and a worm bin because I want to be able to recycle my soil.
I was going to say, what's the end game with the worm compost? Are you just going to use that as a nice soil amendment? Are you going to brew it up? Do you have any specific plans for it?
All of the above.
Okay, cool. Yeah, sure. I figured. I mean, I don't know what you're doing with your crazy IMOs and ferments and all that stuff.
So the IMO collections, I've been waiting to do IMO collections for spring. And of course, we got snow here in New England yesterday. So I'm waiting for the snow to melt. It's 60 degrees today. So the snow's almost all gone that came yesterday. And I'm about to get my IMO boxes outside. I'll probably do that tomorrow. So I have my cedar boxes that I made and I'm going to fill them with rice and put them outside and get my IMO collections going, so that I can start my IMO 2 and then IMO 3 pile.
Nice.
So between the IMO pile, the normal composting pile and the worm bin, I'm going to be reducing my own waste, being able to completely recycle and reuse and regenerate the soil I'm using indoors as well as the soil I'm using outdoors in my beds, in my vegetable garden, all of those things. And I won't ever have to buy, my goal is to not ever have to buy soil again at this point and to be able to basically just make my own teas completely with the worm compost and with liquid IMO.
Nice.
So between those two and the normal Korean natural farming stuff I'm doing, I'm in really good shape for that standpoint. And I really don't need to bring much in from the outside at this point already. And it's just going to continue to close down further and further the things that I need from the outside.
That's really cool, man. I love to see that closed loop system. I love to see you doing organics so hard. Are you really just like, are you running into any problems with your plant? Is this truly the ideal? If you get it right, and I know you've done a ton of study, both on your own and under people like Chris Trump, but if you do get this system right, is it just the best way to grow? I mean,
oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, if you think about, and I know Chris has thrown out some crazy numbers, and I'll probably get it wrong, but he was talking something like $27 per acre per month.
Oh, wow.
In inputs.
Yeah.
And right. they drive a quad with a bunch of compost tea sprayers on the back.
That's nuts, man.
They drive around the orchard and spray the orchard once a week.
God, that's wild.
So if you think about how much money he's saving, he's making all of his inputs at a fraction of the cost and almost everything's coming from his farm, right? And we're talking macadamias here, macadamia nuts, right? We're not even talking about cannabis. So it's, yeah, absolutely. And it's from what I've seen myself as well, once you get the inputs made and once you get the conditions right and you start using it, you start to see it. It takes a little time. And it's taken me several months to get kind of over that hump. To understand, you know, to have a big enough pot for enough soil to really let the plant biology control what's going on and have enough space for those roots to stretch out and have a big enough biome to support what's going on. But those foliar inputs in veg, I don't have to do much at all. And I'm being able to spend more time doing other things like starting a compost pile and working on a worm bin and inspecting my plants and doing things like that that I had less time to do before when I was constantly mixing up batch after batch after batch of bottled nutrients.
Right. I feel you, man. I definitely feel you on that front. I've got my tent set up now. My first little clone is in there. Seeds are coming in. I'm really, really excited to get this legal grow going, get it up on GrowCast on Instagram. Everyone come and check it out at GrowCast. Follow Hota Herb as well at Hota Herb. But really, man, the last real grow that I was running, was synthetic. So this is a new, this is kind of new territory for me. And I'm a little worried, that I actually, there's a lot of new things about this run, but specifically when it comes to the super soil, I'm a little worried that I'm going to get, you know, halfway through flower, three quarters of the way through flower and really want like a, yield boost, you know, coming from my synthetic roots. What do you think about synganic growing? Like, for instance, just using a little bloom enhancer once or twice during your organic grow, or occasionally using some synthetic fertilizers?
You know, I think you can get the same type of boosts with this with using natural organic inputs.
Right.
Right. There is a, if you look at the Korean natural farming nutritive cycle, there's an enhanced ripening phase. And the enhanced ripening phase is really like weeks five, six, week six, seven of your flower cycle. And that's actually when you're using that FFJ, that fermented fruit juice. You're adding those extra sugars in. You can make your own water-soluble potassium and water-soluble phosphorus. So if you need a boost, you can throw those in as well. I think one of the you can definitely add biologicals, which will also give you a boost. You know, a mammoth pea is only adding additional bacteria.
Right. That's a good point.
Help do an uptake. Adding fish shit. There's 1,500 different families of bacteria that you're throwing at your soil that are going to convert minerals and nutrients in different ways and make them actively available for the plant. That's going to bring out those additional expressions. So, you know, my fear always with introducing synthetics is how they affect the basic pH of the soil biology when they're introduced and whether or not they're going to have a negative impact on that soil biology biome that you've developed over time.
That's what I'm worried about, you know, because like I don't know how to tell exactly. I mean, clearly if there's a bottled nutrient, what it's like chelated to a sodium molecule, it's attached to like a sodium ion or something. Sure, so that that's no good. But what about like, I don't know, I like a Tommy Bloom Bastic. That's like a green sludge. I don't think that would, I mean, how am I supposed to tell if that's going to harm, you know?
you're going to have to experiment and experience, right?
Right.
That's what, that's science is experiment and observation.
Yeah, I totally get it. Yeah, I just I wonder how this is going to go. My first time around, I'm going to be tempted to reach for some bottles. I have a feeling.
Yep. And to be honest with you, I think that was the hardest part of the switch for me. Was I felt originally like I had thrown away my toolkit.
Right. That's a good way to put it. Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, it needs more CalMag, more cowbell, more cowbell, more cowbell. Right? And, okay, well, I just go ahead and I grab the bottle and I dump a little extra on. Well, it's not really that much of a difference. I just grab some water-soluble calcium and I add a little extra Epsom salt in my mix. Right. Mm-hmm. It's not, you just have to have those items.
Yeah. I see what you're saying.
Some of it is faith, right? You have to kind of trust the system and learn from the system, because you're not going to be able to grow in the same way, Jordan. You can't grow a full cycle plant in a 3-gallon pot.
Exactly.
With cocoa
right.
in the same way that you're going to grow that same plant in a fully, Korean natural farming, natural approach.
Well, wish me luck, guys. Yeah. Cause it is a first time for me in a super soil, but that's exactly right.
Before we return to Hota Herb, let's give some love to TrimBag, one of my favorite partners. TrimBag.com is where you need to go. Promo code GROWCAST gets you $30 off your TrimBag, plus free shipping. That's nice. And members of MyGrowPass.com get $50 off their TrimBag and free shipping. TrimBag, everyone. If you could trim your buds in a fraction of the time and still end up with superior quality, would you? Of course we would. TrimBag is an incredible blade-free trimmer that puts the user in control. It has no blades that will suck the buds in and mess them up. You can trim up to 2 pounds in as little as 5 rotations with the correct dryness. And you can take it almost anywhere. It's lightweight, it's portable, and it's a fraction of the cost of a trimming machine. And you can still do serious volume. This is perfect for the home grower who's killing it with his yields, and you don't want to spend all that time hand trimming. Just bust out that trim bag. Use it for your bottoms. Use it for whatever you want. And also check out their incredible bucket buckers. These are really cool. It's a little attachment on top of a bucket, and you can buck down your buds really quickly by just stripping them off with this little thing. TrimBag.com. Check it out, everybody. And they're also giving away some bucket buckers to members of MyGrowPass.com. Very generous of them. TrimBag.com. Promo code GROWCAST gets you $30 off and free shipping. Go get it today.
And I love that 3-gallon pot size. I do recommend, if anyone is like in a medium to larger scale grow and a synthetic, I love a 3-gallon, 3x3, under 600 watts. You can really pack it in there, man. That's like a grow. Not with the super soil. You're going to run out of food, right? Like halfway through, quarter way into your flowering cycle, you're going to run out of food.
Right. And I actually, if you're going to go, if you're going to do a synthetic, synthganic approach, I actually like to go the other way. So, use the nutrient line and then supplement with compost teas and fish shit and natural bacteria.
That's a good, really good point, actually.
Right? Because they're going to help break down the salts and the minerals and the things that build up in your medium. And they're also going to give you that boost and that natural biology. They may not necessarily live as long, and your plant isn't going to develop the same symbiotic relationship that it does when it's dependent on the biology. Right. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's kind of the difference in what I've seen and what I'm learning, right, is that the plant, when you're feeding nutrients, the plant is getting a water-soluble nutrient that it can immediately uptake. Mm-hmm. When you're growing in a natural way, you're relying on the mycelial networks, and you're relying on those bacterial and fungal life that are working, the fungus that's actually working with those hairs in the
roots,
to actually bring those back, the nutrients and minerals back into it. And the plant is releasing all of the, exudites. It's cookies and cakes, if you follow Dr. Elaine Ingram's, terminology, to attract the right type of biology at the right time to give the specific type of nutrients, because the plant is farming the biology. And that's, to me, the difference between the two. It's either you're feeding the plant and just you're throwing stuff at the plant and allowing it to uptake what it wants, and the rest is just running off, or you're allowing the plant to control what it's taking from the soil.
Sure. Yeah, that makes perfect sense, man. I think this is where we're all headed. All right, we just had Suzanne Wainwright on. She was expressing her concern with organic growers reusing soil and pest problems.
Yes.
Do you have any advice? Do you think that that's a valid? I think she used something like 90% of her consultants were organic growers, which I found to be a little bit dubious. Maybe hamming it up with the numbers, but maybe she's correct with 9 out of 10. That certainly hasn't been my experience. But what do you think?
I mean, well, so her specifically, she probably has a really large amount of organic people that she works with, because you have to be careful. You know, she's a bug person. She's an entomologist. And if you're using a lot of pesticides and fungicides and things like that, that kills biology. That's not necessarily where she's going to help you.
No, that's a good point.
She's going to come in and say, no, stop using all that stuff for a couple of weeks. We're going to throw some banker plants in. We're going to throw in, you know, stuff around on the ground. We're going to throw it everywhere. We're going to do releases. We're going to, you know, but you can't use and spray those chemicals. And you have to be careful what you're putting on. Again, you have to be careful what you're introducing into your soil, because you might kill those beneficial nematodes. You might kill that Stradiolaelap. So I do agree, you know, and again, she's also really connected to the regenerative organic group, conference, and all of those people.
That's so also a good point.
She's probably also, you know,
self-selecting group.
Correct. She's working with Josh Rutherford and all
getting
of our
his
friends.
Referrals. Yeah, that's right. That's a good point.
In the community. So I don't
definitely, you know, concerned me though. Like, I don't think I'm going to have any major pest issues out here, but certainly would be concerning about reusing soil in a place like Humboldt County when, you know, like so many pests.
Because they're dealing with things like russet mites and some of these problems, also the cannabis aphid, right? The cannabis aphid is also a problem. The cannabis aphid will overwinter.
Right.
You know, I saw somebody posted the other day at Straight Out of the Dirt, who's an awesome guy to follow. Really interesting character. I love his feed. He opened up his greenhouse and was going through some stuff, and boom, he found one. So those cannabis aphids will overwinter even. And so I would imagine that's probably where some of her concern is in some of these larger grows, is if they're getting or dealing with some of these pests and you keep using, recycling that soil over and over again, you're creating a condition possibly where, you know, you could be breeding them. But I guess that really just depends. I think, you know, I have some friends who run some no-till beds and no-till setups where they're using very large beds, and they don't seem to have problems, just keep going cycle after cycle in those same beds.
Yeah, weird how that works, right? And I've seen plenty of synthetic growers who, you know, have lockout and their plants get sick, and then they get an infestation and it just decimates. So it's like, it just really depends, man. I was super lucky in my synthetic career, never got powdery mildew, never got anything weird like that. The guy with broad mites, that was no fun. But
Broad mites and russet mites are a big concern. And like I said, the cannabis aphid and definitely there's some issues there. But I think, again, that goes back to how you're working your process.
Right. Right? Yeah, that's exactly right.
And I think there's ways to outdo those pests in some of these environments. And again, it's unfortunate that we don't have the regenerative conference this weekend, because we could have had this conversation last night. Suzanne actually would have been sitting there last night with her tinfoil hat on, probably arguing with several other people on the panel talking about this very topic, which is fantastic, which is one of the great things about that conference, you know, having Suzanne Wainwright and Dr. Elaine Ingram and Leighton Morrison and Joshua Rutherford and Stephen Reisner all having a conversation about neem, which is where I got a lot of that neem stuff from our previous discussion.
All with their different takes, right?
Yeah, right. It was truly, truly just, I learned so much from having that, listening to these guys who are all have their own opinions and have their all approaches and their back and forth and some of their differences. It was awesome. It was just really great.
I would love to do a panel style thing like that with Growcast. Like, Rob has been bugging me about this for a while. Let's work on that, listeners. Yep. Hota, I want to take a little left turn here.
Sure.
I want to talk about, you know, you've talked to a million growers, you've got a nice little setup going, you've got a couple tents. Where do you stand with lighting right now? So much talk on the show, I'm sure you followed, about lighting. You know, Dr. Coco saying something I thought was interesting, which is he thinks people are over concerned with spectrum and it's more about, you know, delivering the photons. LED, cheap LEDs coming online quick, people going to CMH, lots of CMH growers out there. Where do you land right now, and what are your thoughts?
So I am pretty much in the all LED camp myself. I have grown, I grew up with HPS and metal halides and those very large humming magnetic ballasts.
Yes. Yes.
And dealing with all of those gigantic light bulbs that would burn the shit out of you if you happen to get too close to them. And so I'm actually really, really appreciative of current LED technologies and the fact that I can put my hand on my light in the middle of the day and not worry about it.
I don't think anyone said that. We've had this conversation a million times and no one has said that. That's very, I like that. That's your simple gratitude showing, Hoda.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's tremendous how far the industry's come. And I do agree to a certain extent with Dr. Coco there that I think people are getting a little crazy about spectrum. Sure. But I do appreciate that the reality is that more spectrums bring you closer to the actual light of the sun.
Sure.
Because you're getting such a vast spectrum of light out of the sun. And the best weed is grown outdoors or in light depth, right?
Right. That's what they say.
Using the natural spectrum and possibly some additional, you know, some additional lighting to help with the hours, right?
Sure.
But the reality is that the more spec, in my mind, the more spectrum you have, the closer to the reality of the sun you are. And so that's where you're going to get the most benefit out of your grow. And you're not going to get that with a single bulb. That's the problem with the HID is that it limits your, it limits how much spectrum, how many different spectrums you can have. Mm-hmm. But I actually think, photons is important, but I think it's actually the amount of points of light that LED wins on every time. Right?
So it's not just one bulb emanating in all these different directions. You're talking about the fact that it's a flat bed. And I think Kevin from Black Dog LED talked about this.
Yes.
Where it just fires straight down. All those mini diodes have their little laser pointer. Pew. And there's no weird footprint.
Well, yeah. And actually that's why, you know, I actually appreciate my science LED lights a little bit more than some of the basic LEDs that are out there because LEDs do go straight down. Right.
Mm.
And so you have to have a good coverage with most LEDs because they only go straight down. The lights that I'm running in my flower tent by Science LED have a little bit of a nipple in the middle of the diode, which forces the light out, similar to the same approach you get with an HID. And so you're actually going to get more photons to the side than you are actually directly underneath those LED lights because of the way that they designed those diodes. So again, getting around some of those problems, but the more points of light, and I go back to what Dr. Coco's saying, the more points of light you have, the more photons you're exposing more of the plant to, the more canopy penetration you're going to get, the more fully developed your tops and your coldas are going to be.
Nice.
Getting rid of shadow is your goal, not pumping up the amount of light emanating from a single bulb.
That's a very important distinction. I'm glad that you touched on that. Are we talking SCYNCE?
SCYNCE LED.
Science LED. Okay, I'm looking right now. Fuck yeah, man. These look great.
They're
like
amazing.
Vertical growing solutions. They got cool shit.
Oh yeah, amazing. Actually, some of their lights, you can actually submerge the entire light underwater.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, they're completely waterproof. They're programmable. So my lights in my flower tent actually do a sunrise, a sunset with a full 15-minute red spectrum at the end of the day.
Damn.
I can adjust the intensity. So I bring the intensity up slowly. So my plants don't just get shocked with light when it turns on. I actually have a very nice slow climb for 45 minutes. At the beginning of the day and then a slow fade to red. So it's like a sunset at the end of the day and the plants
are really cool.
And it's all controlled through an app. And you can program it to different hours of the day and different schedules. You can, if you have multiple lights, you could actually, if you wanted to, have it so it almost like the light moving across the sky. Think about it, you know?
I think that entices a lot of the hippies and those such as myself. Mimic what's going on in nature, man. It's perfect.
Yeah. I love it. So I run my lights during the day because I do in some ways believe that the moon has an influence on your plants, whether they're inside or outside. It's not like the moon's influence is going to be blocked by a roof.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's
true.
This gravitational pulls that change, right?
And, yeah.
And that's old gardening science. That's not new gardening science. So I run my lights during the day because I do believe that, you know, that has something to do with plants as well, possibly.
Love it, man. Love the Hota Grow philosophy.
I run a 17-7. I don't run 18-6. I actually run 17-7.
I was just going to ask you about unorthodox light cycles. Yeah. So wait, why do you run 17-7?
So I live in New England, and actually so I showed you earlier my rack of vegetables that I'm growing in my basement too. Right. I run those under 15 hours of light because in nature, in New England, we actually don't get more than 14 and a half to 15 hours of light, even in the peak of summer.
Interesting.
Right now we get, let me see, today we get a total of 13 hours and yesterday it was 13 hours. Yeah. 13 hours and 33 minutes of daylight today. Mm-hmm. So if you're in the Northern Hemisphere, you don't get 18 hours of light. That's not natural. Right.
Yeah.
That's something we do as indoor growers to push plant development further to give them a larger growing cycle. But, so I actually started backing my light off a little bit to 17-7 just to cut it down a little bit more closer to nature. And I may go 16-8. Because that's closer to nature and what's actually happening outside. I've heard people talking about differences even for breeders. If you're breeding for indoors or outdoors, you have to be careful. You can't, if you're breeding for outdoors, you don't want to run a plant 18-6 and then throw it outside because it's going to start flowering in spring. Because you're only getting 14 hours of light.
Yeah, you may be influencing one way or the other. Yeah, that's a really good point, man.
Yeah.
So, well, I mean, I don't think there's anything too crazy about the veg cycle, you know? My understanding is it's just not about not letting it get dark for too long. But what do you think about flowering? Like, I know people try to shorten their flowering cycles or that gas lamping technique or whatever it's called. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, I know some people do like 11-13 instead. I run 12-12, but again, because I'm doing that slow sunrise and sunset with the 15 minutes of red, I'm probably closer to that, 10 and a half hours of full light and 11 to 11 and a half hours at most of actual light before they're really, so I'm actually closer to that type of a spectrum because
again, mimicking nature. Yeah.
Closer to what a natural cycle would look like here in Massachusetts, not necessarily what everybody's light cycle is everywhere on the planet, but what it is here in New England.
Yeah, that's true. But you don't think that there's any sort of like, I feel that if there was a real, bottom line benefit to these weird flowering cycles, we would have kind of all switched over to it. And I just feel that 12-12 is so simple, like mathematically and you know what I mean? Do you agree with that?
I do totally agree. Yeah. It's much, much simpler, much more basic, but I think you could definitely do an 11-13 and be fine. And you know, if you're running something like autos, if I was growing some autos, I actually would like to crank my lights back up to like 20x4.
Yeah, and that's what I've heard as well. Like Dr. Coco saying again, but again, it has to do with the breeders. I think Dr. Coco was saying some breeders, it really depends on the strain and what it's used to. Because some auto breeders recommend the 24 hours. I forget who he specifically brought up.
Yep.
Isn't that interesting? How can a strain benefit from never sleeping? That's crazy.
I don't.
Sounds like a nightmare.
I don't agree with that at all. I think everything that lives needs to sleep.
I completely identify with that. I don't fault you for having that viewpoint at all, Hota.
Important things happen for plants during the night cycle.
Yes.
And, during the day when the lights are on, the plant focuses almost all of its energy strictly on photosynthesis. Mm-hmm. Right? Obviously, it's doing some other things. It's got its respiratory system is running, and it's circulating some water and some nutrients during the day. But for the most part, that's actually more to support the photosynthetic cycle
right.
than anything else. And when the lights go out, the plant has the ability to then take in all of that energy it's been grabbing all day and use it to push new roots and to push growth and to push cannabinoids and to push all of that stuff. So I think you really are cheating the plant if you're going to run a 24 cycle. I talked with Daz Mephisto, mm-hmm. Who's now, you know, Night Owl as well. And he said that he's grown the Mephisto stuff under all different light cycles, and he's grown it under 12-12 even. He grew it under 18-6. He's grown it under 24. He's grown it under 20x4. He said, you know, really whatever you're comfortable, but he also does like to keep some night cycle in there. So.
Right. I can't imagine that it would be optimal to just keep it running all the time, but apparently there are some folks that have success sure. with it and some breeders that recommend it. So, you know, sure. it is,
absolutely.
That's the best part about growing cannabis, right, Hota? There's really no yep. wrong answers.
Absolutely. And I think that's part of what somebody asked me the other day, what was one of the things that took your grow to the next level? Uh-huh. Okay. What was one of the things that took your grow to the next level? And sure. to be honest with you, the thing that I think helped the most was me finally figuring out what my grow style was.
Oh, I like that, man.
Able to work it for a good amount of time. That okay. was the thing that's now taken my grow to the next level. It took me 9 months of, well, actually about a year, really. I started this journey ago, but really 9 months of hard learning and
yeah, studying and classes. Holy and shit. Then,
you know, making the ferments for all the KNF stuff. It took 4 months to make my OHN. But, jeez. You know, just learning the processes, reading about stuff, listening to podcasts, experimenting myself. But I found what I want. You know, I found my style. Right?
So important. So two, important. Man.
2.5 years, really, since I started this, you know, growing again, since I came back to growing cannabis, right? 2.5 years. And as we've discussed before, I ran 6 different nutrient lines. I tried soil. I tried cocoa. I tried mm-hmm. hand watering. I tried blue mats. I've tried foliar sprays, non-foliar. You know, I've tried all these different approaches. I've run 30 different breeders. I've run 50 different cultivars. I did all of this stuff. And where it brought me, I actually figured out what I like doing, what I want to do, what I feel most comfortable with, what I'm happiest with, and what's working for me. And because I did, my plants are responding. And I don't believe it's necessarily because of Korean natural farming, as much as I love the approach, and it's not because of this thing or that thing, or because of this light or that fish shit or this silver bullet or whatever, right? It's because I found what I'm comfortable with, my groove. I found my gardening groove. And if you find your gardening groove, it will bring you to that next level.
That's absolutely, Hota. I absolutely that's love that. Can I dig a little deeper? I think that that's exactly right. Yeah. You found your grow identity. And I think the key components really are your intent. We always talk about your intent on this podcast.
Absolutely.
Some people grow and don't know what they're trying to do. And I recommend you discover your intent immediately. And then second is your values. And Hota, you talk about your values regularly, mimicking nature, you know, quality over quantity. I think getting your intent straight and then getting yep. your values straight allows you to kind of fall into your grow style. And it's really interesting, Hota. It's a lot like playing poker because yep. there's so many successful poker players with wildly different styles. Some are very aggressive. Some are very tight. Some sure. are all about reading your opponent. Some are all about mathematics. And it's very overwhelming as a poker player. What's the correct method? that's what everybody wonders. It's not about finding the correct method. It's about finding your play style, something that you can thrive in, something that you can be proud of, and most importantly, something that you have fun with. And I think that's Absolutely. A one-to-one translation with growing cannabis.
Yeah. How many books are there on baking bread?
Right. Exactly. Right. Yeah, that's exactly right, man. So you gotta just be your own baker.
Yeah, absolutely. You have to figure out what works for you. And I never fault anybody for wanting to use bottled nutrients or synthetic growing or
right.
You know, Dr. Coco has his approach.
Yeah, we love Dr. Coco. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I don't agree with his approach on a lot of things. I'm a lot more on the Jeff Lowenfels side of things for many of my approaches and my beliefs and things, but it doesn't matter because every time I listen to him, I still learn something, right?
Yeah, that's great.
And I have a definite respect for him.
Differences of belief. Exactly.
Absolutely.
Hota. We're losing absolutely. That. We're losing yes. that, not just here in the cannabis industry. We're losing respect for differences horribly. It's actually kind of sad.
Yep. So, you know, again, I think this is a really important time where we have an opportunity, right, mm-hmm. to think about the gardener, the farmer, and the scientist as people that we need to invest our beliefs and our time and our energies in helping them and understanding what they're doing and learning from them and all those things.
Love it. That's absolutely, man.
Really what I hope most people will take away from this time is a new investment in their own health and hopefully in where their food comes from.
Totally. Yes.
Preferably figuring out ways to grow really healthy, nutritive things at home and they're doing it themselves. I'd love to see Victory Gardens coming back and people going to investing in their CSAs and their community gardens
yeah.
and all of those things because it is super important for us to be able to do that. I'm super excited to just go grab a couple of lettuce leaves and throw it on a sandwich as soon as we get off the phone, actually.
So fascinating, Hota.
Yeah, it's a good time to think about those things. You have no excuses. You have plenty of time on your hands. Go out back and go rake something.
Yeah, fuck yeah, man. I'm all about that. And I think
a leaf mulch pile, right?
Yeah.
Just start a leaf mulch pile, right? And all that is just lawn clippings and leaf, you know, fallen leaves that you pile up and eventually plant in.
Right. Yeah, right. Man, I'm about all of those self-empowering things, right? I think as humans, yeah. we develop these systems and we expand and we innovate and we do all of this stuff and we really relegate responsibility and control and everything's out there and everything's in the system. And then something happens and we kind of draw it back in. We become a little more self-sustaining. And I think this is the ebb and flow. And right now we are in a big ebb or flow, whatever you want to call it. So yeah, I'm with you, man. Make the most of it. Take personal responsibility. Take control. And like you said, focus on your health, focus on your happiness, focus on your garden.
Yes. And all those things they'll be so rewarding. If you get out there and you grow some of your own food or you grow some of your own cannabis, the therapeutic nature of it, the joy of life that you will get will be just immensely, immensely important to your daily happiness.
Totally.
And that's what another thing that we all need more of is good, positive outlets for our energy, right?
Yes.
We have a lot of energy. And if we're in the garden and focused on the garden, we're not thinking about all the terrible things that are going on or all the problems or all
exactly.
Right?
Which will be there waiting for us. We just need
Absolutely.
We need that Absolutely. Rest, man. You can't be in it 24/7. So
we need those safe spaces for our heads. We definitely need those safe spaces for our brains.
Speaking of which, Hota Herb on Instagram. Join up, follow him, join those lives,
Absolutely.
Hang out with Hota in his garden.
Twice a day I've been going live, early and late.
Nice.
Just trying to, again, share what's going on, get on, just talk to people, be positive, try to give some advice where I can and be helpful and, you know, just doing what I can in these difficult times when I can't actually do the thing that I love to do, which is organize events and get out there with the community. So.
Right, man. Right. Well, listen, we're here to support you. Everyone give HOTA a follow. Any major cannabis companies listening, HOTA is a data specialist. Why don't you throw that out real quick, HOTA?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I am a multi-decade data warehousing and data master data management specialist. So if anybody's looking to, especially in these times, right, look at your overall informational maturity and look for ways to use that data to help you understand what's going on with your business right now and help you possibly plan the direction you're going to go in the near future. It's a time to invest in your companies and invest in your own resourcefulness in your companies as well, right? As we get more active and the economies open back up, it's going to be important that people spend money investing in their companies and building them back up.
So, oh man. Yeah. You're going to want to hit the ground running after this. I mean, because there's going to be a wave. If you're in any industrial space, any business space, you're going to want to hit the ground running to save your ass. But like you said, HOTA, break down that data. It's like putting it in the solver for poker.
What are the products that you need to focus on making sure you restock first? What are the halo items that come with those products so that you have those in stock as well so people can buy a complete package? What are the things that are high margin or low margin? And maybe it's time to cut some of those low margin items out of your inventory if they're not selling well. Look for ways to... be more efficient so that you can help keep your staff working and keep your business functioning as we get through these tough times.
Love it, man. Absolutely love it. One more time, HOTA. Thank you, buddy. We will see you around. Make sure to, your coffee's on the way. So I sent you a couple bags. I'm going to keep it going. I'm going to keep it coming. Purity Coffee is going strong.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to it. I think it's coming tomorrow. So I'm really looking forward to trying out that Purity Coffee tomorrow.
Yeah, let me know. And anyone who's interested, puritycoffee.com, promo code podcast. Right now they're matching first-time signups and they're donating coffee to EMTs, nurses, and doctors on the front lines.
Fantastic.
Really cool, man. So I just have to throw that out there at the end. Follow the show at Growcast. Follow me at Jordan River IG. Follow HOTA Herb at HOTA Herb. This is Jordan River and HOTAR signing off, saying be safe out there and grow smarter.
Happy growing, everyone.
That's our show for today. Thank you all so much for tuning in. And special thank you to our partner, HarvestMutualSeedBank.com. Check out Harvest Mutual Seed Bank. They carry lots of high-quality breeders, many of the breeders we featured on this show. Members of MyGrowPass.com get 10% off their seeds and free shipping. And you listeners can get free shipping with promo code GROWCAST. It is truly our choice seed bank. They've got some great breeders there. Get some high-quality genetics. And also, Harvest Mutual will help you out with any questions that you have with your purchase. HarvestMutualSeedBank.com, promo code GROWCAST for free shipping. Shout out to Start to Finish Consulting for all your consulting needs, every situation. We got you covered at Start to Finish 710 on Instagram. And shout out to Jay Blanked for doing the beat, SoundCloud.com/Jay Blanked. Thank all you listeners so much. We'll see you next time on GrowCast. Bye-bye.